May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the lesser feast of the baptism of Christ. Jesus went to John at the Jordan River and was baptized. John had been baptizing people, calling for a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was calling people back, as all our prophets do in one way or another, calling people back into right relationship with God, which of course raises the question, if that's what this was about, why did Jesus need to go and be baptized? But he did, and it was important, and I hope that you will see that by the time I'm done here this morning. Baptism is a mysterious thing. It is a powerful thing, and it carries many different meanings. It has different significance in different settings, and people talk about it in many different ways. And so what I would like to do this morning is survey you. I want to ask you, what have you heard? What do you believe? What does baptism mean to you? What have you heard people say about baptism that you think is significant? Why do we do it? And so that's my question to you.
Membership,
okay? An outward sign of a change of heart, okay? A sacrament, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, as Augustine would say. Yes. What else have you heard about baptism? I didn't hear you. Could you say that again? Right. I have heard that one as well, that we baptize children so that they can go to heaven. I'm not sure I believe that one, because I think God would take a child whether we manage to get water sprinkled on their forehead or not. But I have heard that. Yes. Yes. The overwhelming rush of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Marked and sealed as Christ's own forever. A welcoming into the church.
But it's also a cleansing and getting ready to be accepted.
A cleansing, right. It's a washing, right? It's a ritual bath. That's what John was doing in the River Jordan. He said people came to him and repented of their sins and then were washed clean to be back in right relationship with God. And we do that, don't we? During the season of Lent, as we prepare people to be baptized at the Easter Vigil, they go through a process, a catechumenate process of learning what it means to follow Jesus. And part of that is to make their confession. And at the beginning of the baptismal covenant, what do? But renounce Satan and make our confession. Is there anything else that you've heard?
It also means to be buried as you are dunked in the water and then rise again.
Yes, to be buried with Christ, to die with Christ, and to be reborn. It's a new birth. Okay, so there is that notion that as we are lowered into the water, and it's far more obvious in a full immersion baptism, as the person is dropped into the water, they have died with Christ. That's a small death, right? It's a kind of burial. And then as they are raised up again and they gasp for breath, they are reborn, right? It's a very powerful image. So John baptized in the Jordan, and many people came to him. And then years later, Paul was traveling, and he arrives in Ephesus, and he meets a group of disciples and asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they said, "The what?" And he said, "What were you baptized into?" And that question, they were baptized by John, and there's a difference between what John was doing and what happened when Jesus was baptized. So I want to look to this morning very closely at the significance of Christian baptism. So I would like to invite you to open a prayer book. That's the red book in the back of the pew in front of you. Open it up to page 858. This is our catechism. Starting on page 845, there's like a lesson book on what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to be a follower of Jesus. And it's all organized in this question and answer format. And so what I would like to do this morning with you is to go through the catechism on baptism. So I'm going to read the questions, and then we'll all read the answers together. 858. All right. What is holy baptism? Holy baptism is the sacrament by which God adopts us as his children and makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom of God. What is the outward and visible sign in baptism? The outward and visible sign in baptism is water, in which the person is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What is the inward and spiritual grace in baptism?
The inward and spiritual grace in baptism is union with Christ, his death,
and resurrection. Birth into God's family, the church, forgiveness of sins, and new life in the Holy Spirit. What is required of us at baptism? It is required that we renounce Satan, repent of our sins, and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Why then are infants baptized? Infants are baptized so that they share citizenship in the covenant, membership in Christ, and redemption by God. How are the promises for infants made and carried out? Promises are made for them by their parents and sponsors, who guarantee that the infants will be brought up within the church to know Christ and to be able to follow him. That's the standard Orthodox teaching of the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church, on baptism. But no list of answers and questions, no theological or doctrinal statement can capture all that baptism is, because as we see in that wonderful story from the Acts of the Apostles that we heard this morning, baptism is mysterious. It is the mystery of our relationship with God. It brings us into the mystery of God's love for us. And there is a mysterious component to baptism. We receive the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that changes us. We are guided throughout life by the Holy Spirit in our prayer, in our studies, in our discipleship. The Holy Spirit, that powerful and wonderful mystery of God. So in a sense, what you could say about the difference between the baptism by John and the baptism in Christ isn't what is done or said. The difference, the distinction between the two is what God is doing. And let's look at what God does when Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." That image of the heavens being torn apart, that powerful image of the barrier between heaven and earth being torn apart, and then a voice speaks from that torn asunder place. That image shows up again. Just as Jesus' ministry begins with the tearing apart of heaven and God speaking from heaven, his life on earth ends at the moment of Jesus' death. In Mark 15, right after he breathes his last, we hear, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was God's son.'" So at the beginning, when Jesus is baptized, ready to set forth in that challenging and difficult ministry of bringing God to us, to all the world in a new way, the heavens were rent asunder, torn apart, and God spoke those encouraging words, "You are my child, my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." And then, at the end, when Jesus' work was done, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now, the curtain in the temple was the last barrier between all the outer chapels and the innermost space, that innermost space known as the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was where it was the whole point of the temple. The temple is this structure that's built in concentric rings around that one spot, the Holy of Holies, where they know and trust that God's presence will be found. That holiness, that sacredness that is so pure and is reserved in the tradition of the temple to the high priest. And so once a year, and only once a year, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies and say the prayers. And when that priest went in, they would even tie a rope around his ankle so that if he were to succumb, to faint, or to die from seeing the presence of God, the holiness of God, they could pull his corpse from that Holy of Holies. This place that has been closed off and preserved, this place of holiness and the presence of God is exposed by the death of Christ. The barrier between us and that which is holy is rent from top to bottom in that moment of Christ's death. And so, at the beginning and the end, there is a tearing open and a making available to all of us of God's holiness, of God's presence. And this is precious. It is so important to us. Here we are, January 7th. We've all just been through the change in the calendar year, and that we've all seen all of those retrospective articles in the newspaper and magazines talking about the 10 best movies and the best books and all of these things that happened, the most important events of the previous year, and then predictions of what will happen in the coming year. And closer to home, we've looked at our own families and our own struggles. We've looked at what has happened in our own lives, some of it wonderful, and some of it difficult. There have been marriages, and there have been relapses and trips back to rehab. There have been new relationships form, and there have been relationships lost. There have been triumphs and struggles, joys and disappointments. And as we look forward, we know that all of those things are likely to happen in the year to come, that this next year will be every bit as difficult as last year was, and hopefully every bit as joyful. And through all of that, through the tears and through the joys, God is with us. Because at your baptism, the heavens were torn apart. And God spoke from heaven and said, "You are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased."